We're about to have a baptismal service. I don't know who normally raises the screen. We're going to sing a song, then we're going to raise the screen, and Brother Laney's going to lead us in the, through the baptism, and then we'll have announcements. So if you'd stand with me, let's get our hearts tuned to the Lord and start our worship service.
We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. So let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. If while they're raising the screen, if you're a family or a friend of the person being baptized, you'd like to come forward to get a better look or take pictures or video, you could be making your way forward this time.
Lily, have you asked Jesus into your heart as Savior?
Yes.
Okay. Well, because of that, because Lily was one of those that in our camp that had asked Jesus to come into her heart and be her Savior, she's taking that next step, and that's to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And that's our next step as Christians. When after we get saved, then we follow the Lord in baptism. That's what the Lord commanded us to do. In obedience to the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my sister Lily, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of His death. All right, hold your nose. Here we go. Burial and resurrection.
We was in the literature was Haiti, which Haiti is kind of dear to us. We've had an opportunity to go. There's a work that we support there, and we gave the kids an opportunity to donate because the Monel Jules and his wife are currently raising a little bit of money for some classroom space. Right now, all anything they do with the kids, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, is outside. They do all their work outside. We've had an opportunity to go and see them meeting, and they've got big groups of kids under every tree, every spot. There's just a lot of them there. And so we threw it out there for them. We were able to kind of show them what we'd done and things we'd seen and what a good work that we've been able to support there over the years in their medical work and their ministry. And the kids donated between $70 and $80, just like that. They were digging around in pennies and change, and we really didn't push it that hard, but they saw the need and they donated. It was really something to see. So. We feel like it'd be a good opportunity for all of us to maybe give. If it's something that God lays on your heart and you want to give to, we'll give you a couple weeks today and next week because I realize this is short notice. If you do want to give to it, put something in one of these envelopes in your pew, write Haiti on it, and you can do that. If you want to give it to Miss Pam or to us, we'll make sure that it gets to a woman. And know that it's going to go to a service and a work that is really doing a great thing to lift up God's name in that place. So appreciate it, and hopefully we can do something for them.
Thank you. Anyone else? We'd like for everyone after church today to come to the fourth Sunday dinner as we say goodbye to Mr. and Ms. Lee Howell. They're moving to Mississippi, and we'd like to say everybody else say goodbye and have that time with them. Tonight, we will continue doing the Detours Bible study at 6 o'clock. Next Sunday, there will be a baby shower table back in the foyer for baby girl Blair Austin K. Stroh. Is that right? Strow? My bad. All right. That'll be next Sunday. It'll be right back there. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for every blessing you've given us, Lord. Thank you for everything we do and are able to accomplish in our lives, God. I pray you watch over and protect us. Be with this service today, Lord. Let us hear what we need to hear. And let us have a great time of fellowship afterwards, Lord. I pray you watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. You healed a broken heart. You set the captive free. You lift a heavy burden. And even now you are lifting me. There is no healer like the Lord our Maker. There is no equal to the King of Kings. Our God is with us. We will fear no evil. 'Cause you do impossible things. You do impossible things. Though I walk through the valley, darkness surrounding me, there you prepare a table in the presence of mine enemies. There is no healer like the Lord our Maker. There is no equal to the King of Kings. Our God is with us. He will fear no evil. 'Cause you do impossible things. You do impossible things. One word and the walls start falling. One word and the blind will see. One word and the sinner's forgiven. 'Cause you do impossible things. One word and the walls
are my joy. You are my song. You are the well, the one I'm drawing from. You are my refuge, my whole life long. Where else could I go? Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Yeah. Day after day, night after night, I will remember you're with me in this fight. Although the battle, it rages on, the war is already won. I know the war is already won. Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. We sing hallelujah. You're my portion, my salvation. You're my portion, my salvation. Hallelujah. Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Yeah.
To look on him and pardon me, to Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house with us today. If you are visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. If you'd fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, we'd have a record of your visit. Our men are going to come at this time and receive the morning offering. One of our men will lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we humble ourselves before your throne, we just ask for your mercy and grace, Lord. Pray for those among us that are afflicted and sick, Lord, that your mercy and reach to them. We pray for this offering, for the gift and the giver, Lord, that you will use it to strengthen and build your kingdom. And I just pray for each other and our family here, Lord, and know how much we care for them and how they love you. For these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
you're involved in children's church, we're going to let you take charge of your Indians right now through that door over there. Thank you all for doing that. Those of you that help in that ministry, I think it's great. We've got some old friends with us today. Lee, look what a crowd you drawed. You need to be here all the time. Get all these people to come. We're doing this. We're having this service today and our dinner. Everybody else calls it lunch. It was always dinner at Gilbert. And the evening meal was supper. And everybody else got it all mixed up and started calling it something else. Anyway, lunch. Will you stay and eat lunch with us? We've got lots of food, and we're going to do this to celebrate. Lee and Bill, they're going to be taking off to Mississippi here at the end of the month, and we want to say goodbye to them in a proper way. Miss Lee, we love you. I couldn't say enough about how much these two people did in my ministry here in the last 30 years. Anything that was going on, they were here. Lee was Awana commander, Vacation Bible School director. Bill was always involved in whatever construction that was going on here at the church. If you go out in the gym and the carpet around the edge of the gym area, Bill and Earl Dishroon put that up. And there's just all kinds of things. I mean, you never would be able to stop naming everything. God bless you, Lee. We're glad you're here with us today. And then we've got another. This is an old codger here. This guy pastored Osage before I came. And then he came back and helped me. Mitchell Raines, we're so grateful for Mitchell. He's a very good friend, and we've just stayed buddies through the years. All these, if you've ever gone to the evangelism conference and had to share a room with Mitchell, you know he's one of the quietest sleepers that you'll ever be around. I think that was part of the reason I lost my hearing. All that snoring. Yeah, he went to Imboden with us to camp, and all them guys in that room. It sounded like there was a thunderstorm taking place. I'm going to be preaching from 1 John, the first chapter, and the first four verses again today. So you might be finding that in your Bible. I'm just reminded almost on a daily basis of where we are as a church. And in Scripture, it is the days of deception. It's the days of deception. Now, I see so many people deceived in so many ways. I've had a chance to be with one of my grandsons that had surgery here about 3 weeks ago, and we've been going helping with the kids, and he was telling me, and he doesn't go to church, but he was watching, while he was in the hospital, he was watching TV, and a TV evangelist came on, and he remembered right down to the details of what this man said. And he said, "If you'll send me $1,000 of seed money, God will multiply that for you." And I was able to look him in the eye and say, "Miles, He's lying. He is a false prophet. It is untrue. It is unreal. Don't be deceived by those false prophets. And it's filled with deception. The world's filled with deception. It's not just religious deception, but it's deception all over the world. If you'll do this, you'll feel better. If you'll take this pill, this will make you feel good for a little. If you'll drink this whiskey, it'll make you feel good for a little while. You'll be able to forget about your troubles. This is where the high life is. I mean, man, if you're really living, get you a Budweiser or something. The only thing that's going to make Bud any wiser is if he gives that up. If you'll do these things, you're going to be, man, you're going to be right on top of your game. You're going to be at the top of the world. It's all false. It's all part of the deception. And this is what I see happening in churches all over. Is that Christian people have come to a place in their life that they don't think that Christianity is really all that important. And whenever you, if you go to the statistics and read about where the church is now and where it was at 50 years ago and the faithfulness of the people, it's dropped about 70%. And right now, it's been a little while since I've read this, and I may be off. Don't hold me to the numbers. But I believe that statistically, and I can't spell that. Can you, Mitch? I have trouble even saying it, but I know I can't spell it. If you ever want to know how to spell anything, just ask me. I've got a telephone that can spell anything. But I think that right now, that among people who call themselves evangelicals, who would call themselves Christians, and were asked, do you think that the church is essential in the day in which we live, and only 30% of those surveyed said that it was important anymore. We're living in the days of deception, and even Christians are being deceived. Now, if you've come to that place where you don't really believe it's necessary or essential or even important, you're part of that group that is among the deceived. Now, this is what the Scripture says, that the Lord said, when He talked about the days of deception, He said, unless I shorten the days, are you hearing me today? Unless I shorten the days, the very elect would be deceived. The deception would become so strong that even those believers would be deceived by the deception that the devil is putting out. And John talks about that in this book. He talks about where we're at as Christians, where we stand at. Something else I was going to ask you in that spiel that I was giving. I keep getting sidetracked. Do you believe that God can do anything? I mean, really, really, do you believe that God can do anything? Do you believe that He answers prayer? So, if we believe that, then we ought to be praying with the assumption that He's going to answer that. Now, you know that I understand that within His will. I mean, if you're praying for some kind of, Lord, just let $1 million fall out of the sky, and that'd probably be the very worst thing that could possibly ever happen to anybody. But those things that are in His will. Those things that are in. He said, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to, what's that next word? Repentance. Repent. What does that mean? Turn around. Go the other direction. So we ought to be praying with the attitude, God's going to do this. He's going to do this. We spent a lot of time in the car in the last 3 weeks, and air conditioner's been out at the house, and we've been, no, not really. But we have spent a lot of time in the car, so we've had some time to talk quite a bit. And we were talking about God's ability, God answering prayer, and did we believe that He would answer prayer? And did we believe that there was anything that was impossible for Him? And we've been looking at some of these situations that in our eyes, it looked impossible. In our family, praying for a change, praying that they would come to the Lord. But as we looked at that, it looked like an impossibility. And then we began to ask ourselves this question, is it possible with God? Can God change that heart? No matter how hard that heart is, no matter what that heart has gone through in their life, can God change that heart? Can He turn that situation around? And we start praying for that. We decided, and I think we're right, that there is not anything that He can't do. Not anything He can't do. Not anything He can't do. So if that's true, I believe it's true, then our prayers ought to take a totally different direction. You know, I'm for us blessing the food. I think we should, and we do at our house, or at the restaurant, or wherever we're at, we always bless the food. But you know, if that's the limit to our prayer life, we're weak and we're not expecting much out of God. And I'll tell you, mine sure needs some adjustment in the way that I pray. Take your Bibles and turn to John's Gospel, not John's Gospel, the book of John. John, Jude, Revelation. So if you turn plumb to the back and turn to Revelation, then start turning south, if you're where I'm at, and it'll get you. It'll get you there, north from where you are. The book of John. This is the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then the book of Jude, and then the book of Revelation. So we're in 1st John, the first chapter, and the first verse. Let's stand together. And so He's introducing us to Jesus. That's really what the world needs, isn't it? We need to introduce the world to Jesus. And all those folks around us, everyone around us need to know. I'm telling you folks, the answer to every situation in your life is Jesus. It is. It's the answer to everyone's needs. No, I need this or I need, no. The answer is Jesus first. It's Him first. That which was from the beginning, who is? Jesus. Thank you, Clath. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Didn't mean that the life was created. Didn't mean that it never was before. It was just brought to life. It's It's always been there, just uncovered, manifested, took top off of it. Well, we could see. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. Look at that. Look at that. Unto you, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. Do you remember what Jesus said? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the eternal life that he's talking about, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have, this is an important word, and we're going to be talking about this quite a bit, fellowship. Fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things were written, and these things, I got my verses mixed, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You may be seated. In verse 2, and this is where we left off from last Sunday, the life was manifested. The word manifested here means to appear, to make known that already existed. Now, number one's real short, isn't it? But now we get into the fellowship part of this that he's talking about. And so, what is our job in this? What is it that you and I are to be involved in? It is bringing other people into the fellowship. It's bringing other people into the fellowship with Jesus. Now, you know, I like some of these other guys in here. I like old cars, hot rods. I like to hear, I'm 71 years old, I still like to hear the tire squall. I like to hear the sound of a good exhaust system. It's just in me. And it doesn't take anything for me to drum up a conversation with somebody that's got an old car. But you know what? Even if I got other people interested in old cars, it won't make any difference in their eternity. It's whenever I can bring them into fellowship with Jesus. You see, those other things don't amount to a hill of beans. This is all going to be over before long. And it's our job to bring folks into the fellowship with the Father. You know, the church needs to have hell on its mind. The church needs to realize that there is only two places that people are going to spend eternity. One of them's hell and the other is heaven. And we cannot, as a church or as individual Christians, sit idly by and allow folks to go to hell from a church pew because they don't know Jesus. Because we had some kind of club. Come and join our little club where you can get together and do things together and all that. Join this little club? No. It's making a difference in people's lives for eternity. And that's what John's talking about in this fellowship. There's a lot of different kinds of fellowship that we can have, but the fellowship with the Lord is totally different. It's bringing people into the fellowship of the Lord, bringing others into the fellowship with the Lord. Billy Sunday said, folks were either soul winners or backsliders, and I'm about to believe that. So what's my record show on how many I've brought into the fellowship? I mean, really, really, that I actually had anything to do with. Our job is to sow the seed. But what does our record show? I was, when I first did this, I put you down there in both those places, but I changed it and put me. What my record show? What have I got to show for in this fellowship thing? In verse 3, fellowship with us and fellowship with the Father. Look at John 17. This is the Gospel of John. Just get back over in the New Testament. And the New Testament starts with the four Gospels. Gospel means good news. So we've got four books of good news. This is four individuals' records of the life of Jesus. And so the fourth one, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John's Gospel. Now it's way over 17th chapter and verse 3. Now, here is what we call the high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying for the disciples, but what we're going to discover in this prayer is that he's not just praying for the disciples. Guess what? He's praying for us. He's praying for Lanny. He's praying for Mitch, Tom, and all of us. He's praying for all of us. And in verse 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now the knowing here is a deep knowing. It's not just knowing about. A lot of people know about Jesus. A lot of people know about God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the devils know about God, that the devils know about Jesus. And they fear and tremble. So it's much more. It's much more than just saying there is a God and there is Jesus. It's a knowing in a personal way. My wife knows me. She even knows my thoughts. Can you believe that? Any of you guys identify that? That your wife knows what you're thinking? That's dangerous. That's awful. Well, but on the other hand, I do too. Especially if something comes out of my mouth that shouldn't come out of my mouth, I know exactly what she's thinking. And I do like the little boy. I cover my ears. Move down to verse 21. And so that whole prayer is wonderful. But when you get down to verse 21, he digs so deep in the well that he begins to explain this fellowship that you and I may or may not be aware of, this wonderful fellowship that he's talking about. So in verse 21, he says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, there's another place. I didn't write the scripture down. Some of you will know it, that they'll know that we are Christians by our love. By our love. He's talking about love for other people, love for one another. Here, he says that they might believe because of the fellowship that they have with Jesus and the Father, that fellowship is coming out in their life. Paul said that we were called to this fellowship. 1 Corinthians, Romans, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. Did you find it? Look down at verse 9. God is faithful. You believe it? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I don't want us to leave this too quick and miss out on this call. This is how it works. The Bible says that faith comes by watching TV. Is that right? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Thank you. That faith comes by hearing. And so we hear the good news. Jesus Christ has come and died on the cross for our sin. Brothers and sisters, that is good news. Think about being forgiven. My sin, oh, the thought of this glorious state, my sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I have to bear it from now on. That's not what it says, is it? And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. So we hear the good news. We hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that He has come and died on the cross for our sin to forgive us of our sin. Now you can't get it any other way. It is only through the cross. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stain. Lose all their guilty stain. You cannot get it any other way but through the cross. That old song that says the way of the cross leads home, it leads home. It leads to heaven. There is no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way to get there. There's not two or three. There's only one way to get there. So you hear the gospel. You hear through your ears or through your reading, you hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing. You hear that wonderful news of the gospel. The seed is sown in your heart. Paul said, one guy sows, somebody else comes along and waters it. And God gives the increase. Now I want to talk to you about the call He's talking about here. There comes this call in your spirit that you want to become a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. You get this call in your heart, in your life. I want to become a Christian. Gene, can I tell this story about you? Is that all right? When Gene got saved, he came forward on Sunday morning and said that he wanted to become a Christian. And I talked to him. And I don't know why I asked this question. I just did. Jeannie, you've been thinking about this for a while? He said, I'd have come last Sunday night if you'd have given an invitation. You remember that, Jane? I'd have come last Sunday night if you'd have given an invitation. I was ready. I was setting on goal. The call had come. The Spirit had dealt with his heart. And that call was there. In the book of Revelation, the third chapter in verse 20, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door unto me, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. So the Lord is standing there knocking on that heart's door. And what He's waiting for, He's waiting for you to open the door from the inside and invite Him in. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Isn't that simple? Isn't that easy? But it cost Jesus everything. It cost Jesus his death on the cross. It cost him his blood in order to pay for our sin. That call, and here Paul said, we're called unto this fellowship. We got a call in our life, and it brought us into this fellowship with other Christians, and it brought us into this fellowship with Jesus and the Father that we cannot experience any other way. I've started reading the Left Behind series again. It's been about, I don't know how long, 20 years maybe, since I read that. But Margie Bates loaned me the first book, Left Behind. And so I've started reading that at night. I was reading this little episode about the airplane pilot. A lot of you have read those series by Tim LaHaye. And I was reading this little series about the airplane pilot, and he went to church with his wife, and he was talking about those folks in that church would confront you about your relationship with Jesus. And he said that he had come up with this line to say to them. When they'd ask him about his relationship with God, he'd say, well, God's just a blessing me. I can't remember now what the terms he used, but God's just a blessing me all over. And they'd let him go when he'd say that. Well, it didn't mean anything to him. It was zero. It was zero. He had made up a line to give to people that were asking him about his relationship with God. So before I quit, I want to ask you about your relationship with God. If I were to ask you, where do you stand at with God? You'd just make up something and say, oh, he's just blessing me all over. Or would you have to just be honest and say, I need to get right. I need to get, the call has come. And I need to get right with him. My life's not right with him. I need to get right with him. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get right. Fellowship means to have in common. What do we have in common with one another as Christians? I'm going to finish with this final verse. And turn back to 2 Peter, the first chapter. Get back over into the first chapter of John, and then all you have to do is back up a little bit. 2 Peter, and look down at verse 4. Opens a little window for us to see what God has given to us in our life that we just haven't scratched the surface. We haven't scratched the surface. I said I liked hot rods, and some of you guys, we've come to an age of real hot rods now. I mean, back in my day, it was just, if you had a four-barrel carburetor, you had a pretty good deal. But I had a 65 Mustang, had a 289 in it. I know you ladies all know about those. But it had been built and had a high lift cam in it, and it had a four barrel carburetor. I discovered something about that car that just easing it around, it was running on two barrels. Right, Joe? just easing it around as it's running on two barrels. But I figured out if I really shared down on it, that means push the pedal all the way to the floor. If I really shared down on it, it would shift into second gear and throw the four barrel open all at the same time, and it would go. And when I made that discovery, I was tickled to death. I had something there. Boy, I mean, it would put a smile on my face even if I was in the car by myself. You know what we've done as Christians? We've got a whole lot of power here that we've never touched. We've just been idling around, running on two barrels. And that's what he says here. That's what he says in 2 Peter. He says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great. That's just big, isn't it? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be, here it is. Is some people going to get it, some people not? He says, no, partakers. Look at that verse. Look at that. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has moved us from one place. He's moved us from being on our road to hell to being on our road to heaven. Zoom me up, Scotty. I'm ready to roll. Let's stand together. Preachers preaching away one winter evening, church house full of people like this. Back in the back, in the foyer area, had a hat rack, coat rack. Everybody pull a hat and their coat off and hang it up there and come in the church house. Preachers preaching along. Some old boy come in the back door and he started picking up those hats and coats, laying them over his arm, put the last hat on his head, waved to the preacher, and the preacher said, there's someone come in the back door and they're stealing your hats and coats. And now he's waving bye to me. Everybody just stood and looked at him. Church was over and they got out in the foyer and their coats and hats were gone. And they said, someone's took our hats and our coats. He said, I told you. And they said, we thought you was just preaching. Well, I want you to know today, I've not been just preaching. It's been for you and for me. It's God speaking to your heart and to my heart. Would you make a decision today to follow Jesus as your Savior? Would you receive the call today? Would your heart be open to the call and Jesus knocking on your heart's door? Would you open it and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior? Maybe the Lord's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship today. Your first step is to become a Christian. Your second step in that is to be baptized, to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And then you become part of the fellowship. If you've done that already, you could join with us by transferring your letter or by a statement that you've been saved and scripturally baptized. So you get it? This invitation is for you. As we sing, will you come? Will you come?
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to ransom my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I would be whiter than snow.
your time, it's your decision. Would you respond today? Would you respond to Jesus today and give your heart to Him? Would you come? Would you come at the call? Would you respond to Him speaking to your heart?
Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at Thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see Thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Thank you for being in this service with us today. And Brother Mitchell, would you go to the microphone and dismiss us in prayer and ask a blessing on our meal? Say whatever you want to. Don't start preaching again. I don't think they'll stay.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank You and for being in this fellowship again today. We feel the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank You for this church that started me in the ministry of the gospel, and how many friends and loved ones we still feel a part of it. We just thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for the time that You gave us together. And Father, we thank You for Brother Lanning preaching the gospel. Father, help us to be faithful to preach the true gospel that will change hearts and lives. We thank You, Father, for the privilege that You have given us to serve You in the preaching ministry. We thank You for this church that ordained us in the gospel. And Father, help us to always be faithful to do that You've called us to do. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Lee Howe and Brother Bill. Thank You for their work. And Father, we know that the only thing we can take to heaven with us is our faithfulness in serving You. And Father, we pray for them as they make this move. And Father, that You would bless them in a special way. That they have blessed this church. They have blessed me personally. I want to thank You for that. Now, Father, we thank You for those who have such good cooks in this church and for the time of fellowship that we are looking forward to see each one and greet each person. And Father, draw us closer together as we see the final days approaching. Bless the food. Bless those who prepared it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.